Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight we'll be discussing the last 2 weeks of the show. And you can call us in at 914-338-1239. You can also Skype us. Follow us daily at our blog at divadaysofourlives.blogspot.com. You can friend us on Facebook as Diva Days, and you can follow me on Twitter as Diva of Dole, and because Sherry Anderson follows me, and she likes my tweets. That, like, made my whole night.
Oh,
when
that's
you
that
did
cool.
That.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, you guys did a great job with the interview with Sherry. So, what was your favorite part of the interview?
I could listen to the woman for hours, to be honest.
I know.
So full of information and so great at storytelling, even, you know, real stories, you know, that. But I just love some of the insight that she had, some of the things that I had never heard of. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe I'm just totally, I mean, I could have just missed this somewhere, obviously, but I didn't know that Susan Seaforth Hayes' mother wrote for the show. I didn't know that.
Huh.
I didn't know that, I mean, I knew that she and Teo and Leanne were friends and everything, but it was really interesting to hear her talk about the relationship between the writers and the actors and how, you know, how fun it's been for her to be on the road with the current actors, well, and some of the past actors that are going on the book tours, how nice it is to actually spend time with them because usually the writers seem to be, you know, separated from the actors so much.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I loved how she said that back in the day, back in the 80s, how Teo would come in and talk to her about the character and how committed he was to his character, and it wasn't about him and his ego or anything, but it was about the integrity of the character, and that
mm-hmm.
they would brainstorm. And I thought that was really interesting. I thought, you know, it's a shame that doesn't seem to happen more. Maybe it does. I don't know. But I think because of the nature of the way the writers and the actors are not even sometimes in the same building or in the same city or on the same coast,
mm-hmm.
You know, much less the writers being together themselves, you know, everyone's so spread out that, you know, I think that that really does make a difference
mm-hmm.
sometimes with what the continuity and the integrity of character and that kind of thing. But I just loved everything about what she, you know, she's just really interesting. And I got to hear the history of Kate. I didn't know
yeah.
that she had created the character of Kate and things like that, and Steve and Kayla. And, I mean, I knew she did a lot of the super couples, but it was just really, I don't know. What did you think? What did you like about it?
Yeah, well, this was our third interview with her, so it's wonderful that she's always coming up with something new that we didn't know.
Right, exactly.
You know, we're not...
Yeah.
My friends would say we're not chopping down the same tree again. I mean,
well, exactly. That's why you could spend hours with her, because she's just a really neat, fun person. It sounds like, but also very, very knowledgeable and all that. Has so much history and exactly.
Yeah, the one thing that really stood out to me was she was saying that they created Austin. I mean, really, it was to prop Carrie, because the Carrie at the time wasn't going over too well.
Right.
Yeah, that was really interesting, because we always accuse writers of bringing in characters to prop someone else, and no
right.
one ever owns up to it.
Exactly. And that was before Christy Clark came along, right? That was a previous one, or?
Yeah. Well, see, there was Tracy Middendorf, and I can't remember if she was before Christy or like in between Christy's. So I'm assuming Tracy must have been before Christy and after Andrea yeah. Barber.
Yes,
so,
that's what it sounds
yeah.
like to me. I wasn't watching during that time, I don't think. But, yeah, I think that's the impression I got.
Yeah, I think it was Tracy because I remember her with Austin. So it
Patrick
that must
Muldoon.
Have been it.
Patrick Muldoon.
Yeah, Patrick Muldoon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah, I've seen pictures. I've never actually seen any clips of him on the show, but because I missed most of the 90s, but skipped them over, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah. And it was fun hearing about her books, too. And I thought it was interesting how, you know, she was told that she could do whatever she wanted with the book, with the characters, and didn't have to correspond with what was going on screen and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And how, what a tricky balance that is, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, here she was writing Jack and Jennifer together, and then all of a sudden, you know, even though she's not trying to watch the show, she reads your tweets and she sees some of the other things, you know, because you don't want to be influenced too much by what's going on
mm-hmm.
screen. But that was kind of interesting that she was like, oh, and then, you know, now they're breaking them up, you know, Jack's not even on. And so, and then
yeah,
the part where Kayla, how they had written, she'd written Kayla and Pat and Steve in, was it South Africa? And then
mm-hmm.
it's like all of a sudden, you know, Kayla's back in Salem at, you know, at Christmas or whatever. So, you know, just yeah, it's just interesting to hear how what a balance that must be to have to make to, you know, be able to write and write the story you want to write with the characters that you love and some of which she created and the new
mm-hmm.
characters that she's created for the books. And yet also kind of not do too much either similar to the show it's on, or veer too far off of it. I don't know. This is, I think that would be difficult, but she does a
mm-hmm.
good job of it. So,
yeah, I hate to brag, but Jack Devereaux has been tweeting to me the last couple of days.
Oh,
so I've had more contact with him than Jennifer has.
Oh,
and he wrote me a haiku.
How's his walkabout going?
I don't know, but he wrote me a haiku, so
there you go.
I have to find him.
I love it.
Oh, you only go look, see if I can find it. It was pretty good. And, you know, when you ask for one and someone actually sends you one, you're surprised. Okay, here it goes. Okay, it says, not for me, an email was sent, Salem's morons. So that was the haiku from Jack Devereaux.
Say that again?
So, not for me. An email was sent, Salem's morons.
Oh, my God.
That was funny.
Oh, that's great. So, now, is Matt on Twitter?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
No.
I'm sure Save Jack would know. Save Jack
on
Twitter?
Yeah, well, Jack's on Twitter, but not Matt Ashford, no.
I like to watch. Do you follow Stefano DiMera, too? He's funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Scheming Saturday and Wicked Wednesday. And I love how whoever's doing that is having fun with it, and it's cute. I like it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Save Jack says, no, he's not. The real Matthew Ashford is not on Twitter. But Jack,
right.
That's
mm-hmm.
that's good enough for us for right now until
mm-hmm.
until Matt decides to join. Yeah, but Stefano DiMera, good too. Oh, yes, the Twitter world has sucked me in, I have to admit.
I know, you know, and, you know, I try to put it off as long as I could, and I'm like, oh, God.
Yep, me too. But hey, you know, then
yeah.
Once Lauren Coslow started tweeting, I was like, I got to be there. You know, I got to be there for that.
That reminds me. Thanks for bringing that up. We're trying to get Lauren on Watch What Happens Live on
Bravo.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, I was watching Insomnia or something Sunday, and I was watching it. Andy Cohen discusses the Real Housewives series. And I sat there and thought about it. I'm like, you know, Lauren really likes The Real Housewives, as she mentioned it when we interviewed her. We interviewed her on the night of the Beverly Hills reunion, and I didn't realize that when I scheduled it. And I'm like, I bet you Lauren would be great on there.
Yeah, that was a great idea. She loved it. She said it was divalicious. So everybody wants to see Lauren on, what's it called? Watch
What Happens Live.
Watch What Happens Live, we need to be writing in and tweeting and all that stuff. So, and is it Bravo Andy? Is that?
Yes,
is that,
yeah, at Bravo Andy. Everybody wants to
at
tweet
Bravo
to him.
Andy. So, yeah, that would be great. Wouldn't that be a kick to have Lauren on there talking about the show? That would be great.
Well, that's what drives me nuts about NBC. Bravo is an affiliate. It's a sister station. But they don't have any Days stars on there.
I know. They should do some cross-marketing. I mean, I'm really big on the whole cross-marketing thing. They really need to do that. I mean, they do it with Ally Sweeney, although a lot of times she doesn't mention that she's on Days of Our Lives and she's doing Suffer Biggest Loser. But I mean, people know that, a lot of people know that she does both. But at least they're both NBC shows, and it does provide for some cross-marketing opportunities. But, yeah, they really should do that. I mean, doesn't it seem like, you know, back in the day you would see people that were starring on an NBC show or a CBS show, they would do other shows on that same network? I mean, they would, you know. So it seems like that would make sense. I don't know.
Let me bring Madeline before I got her on.
Oh, there
hey,
she
girl.
Is.
Yeah, I saw you were on for a brief second, and then you went poof, and I'm like, oh, no, she's having phone problems.
Oh, so are you on Skype? Are you Skyping in?
No, my husband got my phone to work.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
One of my kids, I've been letting one of my kids use the iPod part on it, and she did something yesterday. And suddenly I can't hear when I call somebody. I can't hear the phone ringing. I can't hear what they're saying.
Oh,
so
weird.
Volume problem?
That'll teach me to let my kids use my iPhone.
There you go. Oh, man.
So what do you think of the Sherry interview, Madeline?
Yeah. So, I haven't heard any of what you guys have been saying. Sorry.
Oh, we were
yeah,
just started out talking about...
we were talking about Sherry.
Yeah. Well, I was really happy when she told us she doesn't have to worry about whether they're dead or not on the show. Yay!
Yeah, that was a great question, Madeline. Oh, my God. What kind of one question? Does it matter if they're dead or not? I love that. Which means Tony DeMira can be alive and well, and we all know that he is.
Hey, Renee can be alive and well. Oh, my God.
Yeah. In fact, I think he was at the royal wedding. Wasn't he at the wedding on Friday? I'm pretty sure. I think there was a sighting of Tony and his Contessa. I'm pretty
well,
sure.
There you go.
Yep. Carrie was saying how it was so neat that, you know, it's the third time that Sherry's in an interview with the Diva, and yet she always brings interesting new stuff that we've never heard, that, you know, has a really interesting spin on something or great stories. And, you know, I don't know. It was just really fun. Yeah. So now for the real show.
Yeah, the real show. I didn't watch the show.
I hear that Tamar Braun's been on.
Yeah, she's been on this week. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you guys think of her?
I'm going to have to go watch, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I like her better when she's playing a crazier character.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's almost
kind of
like she's keeping the lid on.
They haven't changed the character at all for her?
No, the character's the same.
That's the wardrobe. Did you notice that Ava's wardrobe came back?
Yeah, she's a bit more of a hippie chick now.
Yeah, it's got the off the shoulder, you know, the naked shoulder thing and all that, that Taylor was always buttoned up pretty good, but, you know, I don't know. So, yeah, we got a little bit of Ava in there, I think. But I don't know. I mean, I just still don't see it working. But I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know. I just don't. I think for me the problem is that he's always had this, like, and I'm not, again, I always have to qualify this. I'm not a 100% always been an Ajami fan kind of thing, although I have liked them together at times.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I think was one of his saving graces as a character, in a warped sort of way, I guess, is that, and now it's his kids, but that he always had this sort of really innocent, not innocent, but obsession, but or blind spot. I guess that's the word. He had a blind spot for Sammy. He had a weak spot for her. And so it's like I could buy it with her. It just made sense all those years, you know, that there's just this chemistry with them and this history with them that makes sense. But we're supposed to believe that this intelligent man with just all the, you know, gorgeous, great everything, is going to just fall for a scarf. I mean, you know, and the woman who's holding it or wearing it, I mean, I just can't stand it when he's saying, oh, you know, I'm in love with you and stuff. And I'm thinking he hardly knows her. I mean, it's like, they're not selling sometimes people have instant chemistry.
You cannot sell that with a De Niro. They did the same thing with Tony and Kristen. They tried to make me believe that somebody who'd been through relationships with very intelligent, complicated women would be interested in somebody who was stupid and didn't even know her own mind.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. It's just, you know, well, okay, it works with Peter because they never tried to make Peter all that complicated.
Yeah.
But EJ, you know, EJ comes across as a very capable, intelligent person.
Right.
It just make any sense for him after all of the things he's done to be interested in Taylor. That I can buy him being interested in Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
as
what he had with Sammy, because Sammy's personality before they changed her fit.
Mm-hmm.
They fit in every way. Besides having chemistry.
Yeah.
You know? They were two very devious, complicated people who just fed off each other. And the history for the whole for both families made perfect. What better way to mess up the Bradys is to have their, you know, their black sheep fall for the Long family. It works in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter, you know, and then they turn around and they try.
Well, you know, it would be maybe make more sense if it were a slow build, but it's just like we're supposed to buy this. She dropped a scarf, he picked it up, he makes eye contact with her, and he's in love with her. I mean, that's just not easy. I mean,
you can't, unless they make her more interesting, you know, as a person.
Yeah.
And I don't see them doing that.
Where's the challenge? The only challenge right now is that he's married, and he's married to her sister. That's the challenge. I mean, what's going to happen when that goes away?
He doesn't love and has screwed him over continually. You know,
I think what's really annoying, and I'm sure, I'm not speaking for James at all, but I would think it would annoy him that even if you're not a Nicole EJ fan or whatever, I mean, he really did a good job of selling the fact that he loved her with the kids. I mean, even if it's crazy that he trusts her or whatever, you know, they really did do a good job of selling it this time around, because I really thought, how in the world? I mean, she walked around with a fake baby bump for how many months, you know, I mean, and stole this kid. You know, I mean, just all these things that she did, even though he's done unforgivable things too. I thought, how are they going to sell them getting back together? And, I mean, even if it's temporary or whatever, I kind of bought it. I kind of thought, well, you know, they're both coming from a place of loving the kids, and they have chemistry. You know, maybe they're not soulmates, but they definitely have something. And they're interesting. They're each interesting characters in and of themselves. And so I could buy that, he made such a big deal out of the fact that Nicole was good for his kids. She loved his children. Well, all of a sudden, that's just out the door, you know? Forget that, you know? And it's like, throw her out the door with the baby in the bathwater, and all of a sudden this Taylor, you know, and he seems to think that once he gets divorced, it's going to make everything okay. Well, hello, she's still his sister. She's still her sister. I mean, it doesn't make things okay, you know? So I don't know. I'll get off my soapbox. But, from a person who's not even a diehard jammy, it just doesn't make sense to me. But I don't know.
Well, the thing about Nicole and Sammy is they've both done unforgivable things, too.
Yeah, they kind of cancel each other out. But yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well,
got
so has EJ.
Anger and frustration about why Sammy wasn't supposed to be with him. I understood it from the standpoint of they wanted her with someone else. That I understand, but that she doesn't belong with him. That's silly.
Yeah.
Right.
She's too good for him. That part always got me.
Yeah. That's laughable.
I mean, good for anybody.
Because remember, she doesn't like violence. Remember that?
Mm.
When Johnny had a box, and she's all infuriated because, you know, I don't believe in violence. I'm like, you just shot this guy in the head, cold blooded. Like, what? You know, so whatever. I don't know. Crazy. So what else is going on? Let's see.
Well, someone thinking about this on, I think someone mentioned it on Twitter. Just thought it was bizarre that, you know, Nicole's still suffering for her mother, and Taylor hasn't really mentioned her mom since they got back from the funeral, and she's having champagne picnics with EJ.
Exactly.
I mean, that's crazy.
Continuity,
your mother just died.
Continuity, please.
You're stabbing. Your mother just died. You're stabbing your sister in the back, and you're drinking champagne with your brother-in-law. I mean, that's just.
And yet he says, it's so nice that I'm with somebody who has a conscience or whatever. Like, whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry. No demerit gives a shit about a woman with a conscience.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they actually have him saying that in the dialogue. I'm like, okay, yeah, she's a conscience. She's already forgotten her mother's dead.
I always had to make a list of all the lines that would make an actor roll his eyes when he's trying to go through the script. Man, that's one.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of feedback on the blog. A lot of people are still posting on the Natalia Livingston replaced by Tamara Braun. I mean, I'm still getting comments on that daily.
Huh.
And people wondering why that the comments are coming up immediately. Anything that's 2 weeks old, any blog that's 2 weeks old, I have to personally approve it. Because a lot of people, when they try to spam links trying to sell something, they try to stick it on an old blog.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I moderate everything. That's why I'm moderating stuff that's 2 weeks old. So just let everybody know it's not for censorship purposes. I've just got tired of people spamming the blog with advertisements. So it's getting ridiculous.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, because I haven't had that problem since. So that's really good.
Huh.
But yeah, daily the Natalia fans are just daily on the blog commenting that they don't like Tamara and they want Natalia back.
Yeah.
So I don't see that happening, but they.
Well, I will say this. I think Natalia had a softness about her, and she is a pretty woman. I mean, she's a very pretty woman. The character, the way they were writing her, the way she was portraying it, however you want to look at it, to me just came across as so mousy that I was, even though she's pretty, I was thinking, why would he be interested in somebody so mousy, And so that's part of the thing that I had. It's not the actress. I mean, she seems like a nice enough person and talented enough person, but now with Tamara, it's almost the opposite. She seems almost rough to me. Yeah, I mean, she seems kind of tough and rough, and I don't really see the chemistry at all with those two, with either set, basically. I don't know. But,
yeah, that's what it was. As soon as they announced Tamara, it just seemed like odd casting, period.
Yeah.
Because we all kind of knew she's a little bit too tough for this role. But, I mean, they were trying to make her look softer. I mean, her hair's softer and her makeup's softer. And even her clothes, even they're kind of hippie-ish.
Yeah.
They're softer than, Ava would have worn. But I think they just miscast this role again.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll see.
And if they're trying, I think the other thing is, we always say we want romance. That's why we watch, that's why we watch these shows, is partly for the romance and adventure and the history and the connection with characters. And I think sometimes the writers must think, okay, well, we throw a blanket out on some grass around some trees and throw in some champagne and put two people on it. That's going to seem like, that's going to translate as romance.
No.
It's like, when they do that, usually it's the people you don't want sitting on the blanket. with the champagne. And
these are what
seems to work for Tony.
Yeah, I expect these people are getting paid a lot of money to know what the difference is. To know that you can't just shove romance in our throats. You got to pick people who are going to appeal to the audience.
Yeah, and yet, they have managed to do it with Victor and Maggie and Stefano and Kate. Those two pairings have a lot of romance. I mean, like, oh, Stefano and Kate, they were so cute. I can't remember which day it was this week, but they were just so cute together. I mean, they're little. I think at one point he kissed his finger and touched her face with her lips or something. I'm like, oh, you know. But they still have it, even though they've been married for a while and in soap world, you know, by now all the magic should be gone, so to speak. But they really managed to spice it up and make it fun and show that connection between the two of them. So they do have the ability. Now, of course, the actors are a large part of that. But and with Maggie and Victor, they've taken that relationship a long way.
And the history that these writers were not responsible for. A lot of the reason that those four work is because they've had a long history on the show.
And that had nothing to do with
the people who are writing this or producing.
Yeah, when they try something new with a new pairing, it just generally sucks. Like, oh, I don't know, Dario and Melanie. I'm sorry, but I know you don't like Melanie Madeline. I know, but I do. But I cannot buy this pairing at all.
I just cannot watch them. Even when she was with Philip, and I like Philip, I mean, she just ruins everybody. But at least with Dario, she's with somebody I don't care about. So good.
Fast forward the whole thing,
and the beauty on YouTube is fast forward is an instant. You have to wait.
That's funny. Oh yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Carrie, what do you think of? What did I call him? Dumio? What was that? Was that my?
Oh yeah, Dumio.
Dumio? Was that my nickname for him?
Yeah, I didn't even put him on the list for topics to discuss tonight.
Okay, sorry.
I'm just being honest. Well, now that there's like, oh, we're all supposed to forget now that he robbed Melanie and he robbed her from his sister, and now he's raped Junior because he solved a crime within a month of being in Salem that the Salem PD couldn't solve and Rafe couldn't solve. So now I think he's a mini Rafe. I don't care how they keep saying he's not like Rafe. They're going to turn him into a little Rafe. But Melanie, I prefer her with Brady, even though I think the age difference isn't good. They still have nice chemistry, but I wanted them to stay friends, though.
I love to see them on screen, but I don't know about a romance. I mean, especially because I really like Nicole and Brady together, but I mean, I don't know if that would be kind of icky because they've been like brother-sister, you know? But I don't know. Maybe it depends on how they sell it, I guess. But are they actually going through with that? Because I saw spoilers that hinted at it, but...
I don't know. You know, there wasn't really any Melanie spoilers for May. The whole thing is still revolving around Rafe, too. And we found out this week they're filming middle of July right now.
Ugh.
And Rafe 2 is still on the
show.
There.
You think they're doing one of those switcheroo things where nobody can tell which one is which or something like that? I don't know. Didn't they do that on Santa Barbara or something?
They did that on Santa Barbara with Robert and Quinn Barr. They're twin brothers. And they actually killed off the good brother and kept the bad brother. They actually killed off the good guy. So that was something
else. If Rafe 2 hadn't killed Faye...
Mm-hmm.
I might have actually been able, I mean, not that I would have enjoyed the character all that much more, but of the two, I would have rather them kept the second Rafe, because he was kind of twisted, well, a lot twisted, and at least that gave me something a little bit to grab onto, but, the fact that, you know, he pushed, like one of my sort of favorite people down the stairs, you know, and killed her, I just really am not too happy about it.
I'd like them to have him be the one who survives, because then he won't survive for very long. Then we'd be rid of both of them.
That's true. They probably wouldn't keep him on. Didn't think of that. That's a good point.
I wish. That won't happen with Tomlin.
Yeah, they'll probably come up with another person. Come up with a third.
Oh, God.
I mean, I just can't believe, I mean, considering the ratings, like, tanks as they started this storyline, I can't believe they're extending it for a few more months. And I think when they're doing it for, well, as you call it, Anna, e-failure.
E-failure.
To get them, like on the verge of marriage, and then Taylor finds out what EJ did with Rafe, and then she has to break up with him, you know. She gets all righteous and breaks up with him. Especially since he was the one responsible.
Like at that point, right?
Well, that's the thing, because EJ's partially responsible for Faye dying. And he doesn't give a shit either.
I know.
He doesn't care. It doesn't bother him at all. He killed Nicole's mother. I mean, it's like, holy hell, how can you be that cold?
Even if you're a criminal, they're not, I mean, not every criminal is. And this was a petty criminal, too. It's not like he was a murderer or something before they got him. I mean, unless I missed something.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool. Like, I love the scenes where Sierra, I'm glad that they articulated, that they had her articulate this, that they said something about Rafe and that, oh, we're sorry, Theo's so scared of him or something like that. And, you know, he was really trying to be helpful or whatever. And she said something like, he's nice in front of adults, but not when, or something like that, not when he's around just the kids. You know, if a 6 or 7 year old told me that, I'd have his ass back. I'd be like, what are you doing to the kids, you know?
Exactly.
They just kind of seem to pass it off. I wonder if that's going to become something. I know that they're supposed to have a story with him, which I'm wondering about, but, because you would think that would be a huge red flag. I mean, huge. You don't just dismiss something like that when the autistic kid who, like, you know, has extrasensory perception is, like, freaked out by the guy, and the little girl that's so articulate and smart and everything is like, yeah, he's not nice when there's no adults around. Hello? You're the police. Come on, you know. But I don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, my son's 6. He's the same age as Theo and Sierra. If he came over to me and said, yeah, so-and-so's not very good with kids, you know, I'd be like, okay, what happened? You know, you don't blow that off. I mean,
right.
That's just,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
Exactly. Bad parenting from Bo and Hope.
But
geez. They're getting sucked into the whole Rafe 2 storyline. That's the big umbrella storyline of the summer, Christian's been tweeting about. It's like, oh, that's it? Really?
Well, maybe it will make some sort of a turn. I don't know. There were a lot of turns with the, you know, twists and turns with the baby switch, and some of them were good and some of them weren't so good. Some, I don't know. I guess maybe something will be better. I don't know. But I know probably most of us aren't that optimistic but you know, who knows. But I thought it was interesting what Sherry said the other night in the interview. Sherry Anderson, that she said, you know, back when they were writing, she says, it's just a different world now. The budgets are so tight and everything, and they tape 2 months in advance, as we know. Well, she said, you know, when we were practically watching it as it was happening, you know, and so we only had we only had maybe 2 weeks in the can, you know. So if we were sitting there watching it, went, oh, my gosh, that's stinks, you know. They could change it. I mean, it's not like they had all winners. I mean, they had some.
That didn't change until Tomlin came on board. He did that, and there's a lot of people who are still saying there's no reason for that. There's no reason to make that far ahead.
It's because of the budget, though, because they have the studio go dark.
No other soap is doing that.
Right, most of them are going away. Yeah, I don't know.
I think this one is going to be next at the rate they're going. They're on the bottom.
If they don't make some changes fast, and that's the thing, they don't have the ability. I mean, as you know, I've stuck up for him from the standpoint of saving the show because of the budget. But it could also be the death of the show if they've got 2 months of stinker stories in the can and they can't change it, and we know they can't change it for another 2 months because we're going to be stuck with it. I mean, look how long it was that we knew that Natalia was gone, that we had to keep watching her scenes. I mean, how can you even get drawn in? I mean, if you know that that person's going to leave, how can you even really get drawn into the story, even if it was a good story? You know, you'd be like, well, you know, she's leaving, so who? It was kind of like the reveal with the Parker story was pretty good. But then right after that, we found out that some of the key actors were leaving and in that story. And so then it was kind of like, well, why do we invest now? Because we know in the end, Philip's going to take Parker and leave. And, you know.
The really sick part about it is I can see that getting, the show an Emmy.
Which part?
Because they put in Parker's christening.
Oh, really? They did?
Over it was like, excuse me, do not give this show an Emmy for something as stupid as that just because the episode looks soapy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good reveal compared to some of them. I mean, some of the ones they've done, they build up for months and they have repetitive dialogue and you hear the same thing over and over again and it stretches out for months at a time. And then when the reveal finally happens, you're like, nobody cares.
An Emmy for the soap of the year. That was the best soap for the whole year. Sorry.
Yeah, well, but all the soaps do. I mean, you know, they all have to submit, you know, certain scenes or whatever episodes. And, I mean, that could be said, you know, other ones too. But there's more consistency in some of the other shows, definitely. I agree there, but I don't know.
I hope the... I hear One Life to Live was stupid and put in a really dumb episode, but people vote with their emotions at times, so you never know.
Right, yeah, I don't know. Let's see. What else is on your list, Carrie?
That's a good question. Nicole. I think actually Nicole is the only part of that whole storyline I'm liking.
Yeah.
She's going to get revenge, even though I don't like her way of revenge. She's going to blackmail EJ into staying with her. No, I don't like that. I think she should confront EJ. I think she should seriously take EJ to jail. If she has proof that he kidnapped Rafe, then I think she should go to the police with it and let the police deal with him.
We know how that goes in Salem.
Well, yeah, or have them try, you know.
Can't see her reason behind that because then she'd have to deal with Stefano. Come on, you know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So I don't like the idea of her blackmailing EJ to stay with her. I mean, that's just lame and pathetic. But you know what's funny, though, is that Salem PD is so incompetent that the imposter cop was the one who found the kids.
And he wasn't even trying.
He wasn't even trying. Yeah, he's more like the role race than
he got there before they did, and he wasn't even looking for him.
Yeah, and Rafe was actually in the vicinity, so the role race could have found them, too. Because Rafe finds everybody. You know, he finds Anna, he found Calliope, he found Shane. Rafe finds everybody. So.
Oh, he didn't find Shane. He got tossed into jail, and Shane just happened to be there. That one isn't quite.
So, Chloe, that's, you know, kind of odd.
And showing up,
yeah,
a really looking one.
I'm sorry, hon. I didn't catch you. You said your phone went out.
Has Chloe's new man shown up, the really hot one from Australia?
Yeah, he showed up this week. I didn't take it. He was an Aussie. He must have lost his accent.
Oh, is he the guy who, like, wanted to buy her a new burger?
Yes.
That's him? Oh.
That's him, I believe.
That's not who I wondered if that was him, but I didn't think I thought he was going to look different. I don't know.
Or maybe it was a random guy. I thought he was.
I don't know, but it could
guy.
Be. Because I know she's supposed to get involved with this pimp or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. I don't know why they're doing that. But I actually did, I have to say, I did enjoy the scenes with Nicole and Chloe, even though she's, you know, I mean, I kind of like those scenes. I thought it was kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
So, like those. They did a good job on those. And of course,
what happened to Nicole and or Chloe and Brady getting together? Aren't they going to do something?
I don't know. It would be nice.
Yeah, she's supposed to be with this Quinn guy.
Here.
Yeah.
Now what? Chloe and the
Chloe and Brady. They were going to go back. They were going to do that, according to Nadia, I thought.
I just thought the whole thing doesn't make much sense to me that, you know, Chloe loses her child, so she spends an entire week at the Cheating Heart drinking. and she doesn't mention her, she mentions her son a little bit. I mean, she seemed more upset that her divorce was final than her son's gone.
Yeah, she's just, I don't know. She's weird. I don't know. I don't know about her. But I guess this is supposed to send her into her downward spiral. But, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, then Maggie and Victor got in a big fight over Chloe.
Oh, yeah. She took her in.
Maggie had to. Yes, Maggie had to take someone else in.
And then
Nellie's living with Brady, which I'm assuming that they're doing that for sexual reasons, because why isn't she back living with her dad?
Yeah. Well, maybe because it seemed like that was for sexual reasons. I don't know. That was just too weird. And they were in the kitchen cooking together. They were like a little couple. And I'm like, I mean, I kind of have liked their mother, I mean, their son, I mean, their son, their father-daughter chemistry a little bit, but when they moved in with them, it got a little weird. And I don't know, I think it's just because she's playful with everyone, and it just kind of skeeved me out a little bit. But, I didn't realize she was moving. So she's moving into the Kyriakos mansion?
Yeah.
She's moving back in?
Yeah.
Revolving door? Does anyone care about Carly stealing the meds and taking them?
No.
Me neither.
Well,
yeah.
She thought it was weird. Maxine's like, hey, Melanie, we're having a secret meeting on Monday about the missing drugs, but don't tell anybody. And Maxine goes around and she tells everybody in the hospital.
Secret meeting. I love it. That's hysterical.
And it wasn't meant to be funny. That's what was funny about it. It wasn't supposed to be funny. But she should have played it like that she was gossiping, you know. But they didn't. I thought that was funny. But like, so how are you going to find out who stole the drugs if you're telling everybody there's missing drugs?
You say it loud enough for the person who's actually stealing the drugs to hear it. Oh, jeez. I know.
And the drugs aren't making Carly any more likable. Like, if they make Carly a little bit more loosey-goosey and she's a bit more,
a little more fun,
I'd be like, go for it, you know. Keep shooting yourself up. But she's not. She's paranoid and twitchy and jumping down everybody's throat. And then she was, did you see her on Friday, what she did to Jennifer? She finds out Jennifer and Daniel are going on a date. And Jen's asking her, you know, are you okay with this? Because Daniel and Carly were kissing, I guess, the day before or whatever, and she saw them. And Carly's like, oh, you're just projecting because you're having guilty feelings about going on a date and being the Jack and everything. And that had nothing to do with it. Jennifer was really concerned about Carly's feelings, and, like, Carly just, like, lashed out at her and attacked her. It was something else.
Yeah, and I missed part of that, I think. I think I missed part of that episode. I don't know. I guess this all leading up to, isn't her son going to come back, and Nick Alamein in the form of some kid that's Will's age or something? You know, it seems like they're building up for him to come back, and I'm assuming that he won't come back and remember that he had this passionate thing for Kate. It'd probably be some younger character that, you know. Because it'll have to be more Melanie's age, I would think, but I don't know. I could be wrong. But I'm just guessing there that they, you know, they may do that. I don't know. But let's see. So Carly, who really cares? I'm not sure I care about that story, but sorry. I'm having to think about what else happened. I wish we could see Stefano and Kate on more. I enjoy when they're on there, but I don't want their it to become their sole reason for existence to be to break up Abby and Chad. You know, and I love the scenes. I love the scenes that Kate and Chad have together, and I love those. But it's like, oh, please, I don't want that to be their whole story. You know, they need to, you know, have these. And I love how they are putting in those romantic touches and everything, both literally and figuratively. But, they do manage to keep it interesting still, but I just hope that they don't get sucked into having to prop that pairing, even though, you know, I'm okay with that pairing, I guess, but I just don't really, I mean, I kind of like the new Abby. I don't know. I didn't think I was going to.
Oh, yeah.
I like her. I mean, I think she's a solid actress, and at first I thought she looked more like Missy Reeves' contemporary because Missy looks so young. But I think it works. I mean, I don't know. So far, I think it works. I don't know. But does anyone get the feeling that she's hot for Dr. Dan? I keep thinking maybe they're going to have some sort of triangle with the Daniel and the mother and the daughter, because she was like, "Mommy's hot," you know. And also, I saw that Sean and Kate are doing Kate Manzi are doing a. Not that this means anything, but doing a charity event together. And a lot of times when they do public appearances together, somehow or other, it might have no meaning, but it might be that they're testing the waters or something. I don't know, as far as the show goes. Any thoughts on that? I don't know.
No, I don't see Abby and Daniel. I think they're going to go with the Carly-Jennifer-Daniel triangle.
That makes more sense, definitely.
Yeah. But. And watching Daniel date someone his own age, I mean, holy cow.
Yeah, that's a first. That's nice.
That's the first in, what, 3 years that's happened?
I think
happened.
That's probably why I liked Melanie and him as father-daughter for a while, but then when they moved in together and I said it was weird, I think it's because I kept picturing Chelsea. Because I was like, Chelsea was this young, you know, she was so young looking and everything, and I thought that's what gave me. I mean, if he had never had that relationship with Chelsea, I probably wouldn't have even seen it that way, but because I knew that he liked, you know, liked him of all ages, I thought, oh, this is just reminding me too much of that.
Yeah. I really do like Abby. And Chad, and they're a cute couple, and
yeah.
I like having her on.
Yeah.
And I think she's got great chemistry with everyone. She's doing great with Casey, and you buy her as Melissa's daughter. And they're not writing her as a bitch, which is really nice, too. But they tend to do that with all the younger girls. They write them as bitchy or bloody
or
whatever.
They come in and they're super wild. Like, remember when new Stephanie came in?
Yeah.
Kelly Hennig's character or portrayal, and she was party girl and, oh, jumping on cars and drinking. And, you know. It's nice that they're not making her this stupid, you know, flighty, whatever. You know, I like that. I like that too. That's a good idea. That's a good thought. Yeah. I don't know. I know you don't really want to talk about Dario, but does anyone want to place bets on Dario working at the pub? Because remember, we've talked about how it's going to be the Hernandez pub someday. So the Brady pub.
Oh yeah.
Because she said Gabby said something about he's looking for a job. He's decided to stay. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh great. But wait a minute. Didn't he have a job at the docks? There for a while?
Yeah, what happened to the I mean, I missed a couple of days when I was sick a couple of weeks ago, but what happened to the docks?
I don't know. I figured he just got that job because it would give him an opportunity for them to show him without his shirt on, but I haven't seen any scenes of that, so I don't know. But, yeah, they were saying, oh, he's looking for a job, and I'm like, okay, didn't he have one? Rafe was in construction for 2 days, just long enough for them to win custody of, you know, was it Sydney or whoever, I don't know. Then he, you know, stopped doing that. So.
Oh, I remember what it was. He applied to be a bartender at the Cheating Heart with Justin and Adrian on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I got to say, they're so unimaginative on the show. I mean, you know, bartenders and waitresses, I mean, I understand they're young and we all had those crappy jobs when we were young. I mean, he's not going to college or anything. It's like, I don't know, that just isn't, as a woman, I don't find that attractive. It never occurred to me to date a bartender. I mean, you know what I mean? And even another thing that really bugged me this week is Jennifer's first date with Daniel is going to a bar and watching the Cubs game. For real? Is that what we're coming down to? Are we supposed to finally remember their first date years from now? Oh, yes.
They played darts yet or spilled anything on each other? Because that's always a sign of true love, always.
Yeah, they already played darts.
They played darts, so that's on the list. Has she spilled coffee or anything on him yet?
No, but but playing pool is still up for grabs.
Okay.
But they do this every time. They always have a girl and a guy who can afford her to take on a real date, and the girl's like, oh, no, I'm going to show them I can, slum it. And, but it's like Stephanie, her first date with Philip was at the Cheating Heart playing pool.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
And it's like, number one, that's not a good impression to give a guy that you're okay with just drinking beer and eating peanuts. I mean, if he wants to date you, I mean, I'm not sure if it's, you know.
He's an
internationally
renowned doctor who has 14 different medical specialties.
He can take it a chair route,
He
can buy you the lobster.
But of course, I guess that would seem more like a real date, and the other was more like casual. I don't know. Who knows? But
the thing is, they already know each other, so it's not like they need to go and watch the Cubs game at a bar. I mean, that's kind of like something you do with a friend. That's not really a date. And how you can, that's just stupid.
I don't know. I don't know. So at least they're not, they didn't move to level 14 yet with the picnic and the, champagne. I mean, some people speed date. By that I mean they find a scarf, they look at each other, they're in love. And next thing you know, they're on a blanket in the middle of the forest, apparently Salem has, and they got champagne. So who knows?
Yeah, EJ knows how to, have great first dates with his sisters-in-law. You know, Daniel needs to take some notes, I guess. Maybe Daniel will surprise us and he will take Jennifer to the woods with some champagne or something. This is, are we supposed to really look forward to this? Because they're going to end up with a cheating heart. It's like, really? Come on. And Chloe probably will be there and she'll probably flip out. So, that might be interesting to watch.
Oh, that might be good.
Because Chloe, lives at the cheating heart now.
And, of course, wouldn't that be her style? Because she's an international opera singer who was, involved with all these rich men that, cheating heart, really? Okay. I guess it's cheap. And she doesn't have a lot of money right now, so maybe that's it. I don't know. But then explain to me how Melanie, after dating this really funny, kind of cute, offbeat doctor and marrying an international businessman who's got dimples for days, gorgeous, sneaky guy. And then what is she going to see? I mean, I'm not downplaying the whole cheating heart thing. I'm not trying to dog that because it's a legitimate job and everything. But how does a character like that then shift gears to be interested in Dummy-o. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't know. Oh, well. Guess we've got that to look forward to, either that or Brady, which, like you said, maybe that's the better alternative at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'd rather see her with Brady than with Dario. But the thing is, too, was odd. Melanie had this weird conversation with Brady this week, and she said she thinks one of the reasons why she married Philip was for money.
Who said
which
that?
Is odd. Like, Melanie who? Did. Melanie said she thinks one of the reasons why she married Philip was money.
And that never came up. That
never came up ever.
And then when she got the $5 million from him or whatever the key amount was that she got from Philip for the settlement, that she didn't even supposedly want. Why would that's stupid writing right there.
Well, because if she's got $5 million, why does she get her own damn mansion? Why she's, hanging out at her dad's and living with Brady? I mean, you get $5 million, she can get your own place.
Of course, that goes back to the set, Kate can never have her own house if she's between men, not dating anyone or married anyone. Because, they don't have a budget for all these different houses and stuff and apartments and everything. So that's part of it.
Yeah, I don't understand these women either. Nobody wants alimony. I don't understand. if some guy wants to give me $5 million and I was only married to him for a couple months and cheated on him and passed off someone else's baby as his, and he wants to give me money, then I'm like, okay, sure. I'm not going to sit there and argue about it. Like, Chloe's like, oh, no, I don't want his money. I'm, you know, too good to take his money. It's like, okay, you don't have a job, but you're living with Maggie, and you lost your kid. You know, maybe a little money would help you get on the right track instead of getting your life together by drinking martinis at the Cheating Heart. So, I mean, the women on the ex-wives on these shows, they're just a little bit, I mean, the guys are way too nice. But Daniel could have said, fuck you, I'm not giving you a dime. I understand they're trying to paint him as a nice guy, but, I mean, this is so far from reality. It's unbelievable how well these exes are getting along, that the men want to give money to women they've been married to for barely a year or less. You know, I mean, they feel sorry for the girls, and the girls don't want the money. It's like, come on, that would not happen in real life, that you're going to turn down money. Did you feel guilty? I mean, no. Besides opera singing, Chloe's really never had a job. I think maybe she hung out at the hospital a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, and she was doing singing lessons. But, you know, she's just not really getting her life together, sitting around drinking.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's supposed to lead into the, you know, the whole downward spiral thing. I don't know.
Yeah, that she starts dating a pimp. Yeah, that's you know.
Totally.
And this is supposed to be romantic. We're supposed to find this romantic that she's dating a pimp. Oh, I mean, I just don't understand that.
Yeah, that's a lot of romance right there. That's going to save the show. Oh, I don't know.
I understand where Sherry is coming from when she wants us to watch the show. I do. But it's very, you know, when I actually sit down to watch it, it's getting past all of those things,
yeah.
You know, how incredibly sick the show is at this point, and dull, and all of that other stuff.
Jack and Jennifer in the chat room said gold teeth and pimp canes are very romantic. She always comes up with something good.
Oh,
yeah, and then Justin and Alana mentioned Nick Corelli. Yeah, I liked Nick Corelli back in the day. Remember him and Eve?
I don't remember him because I don't think I watched it during that time, maybe.
Yeah, his big storyline was with Shane's daughter, Eve. Yeah, that was something else.
Huh.
Yeah, well,
I just wish they'd bring Tony and Anna back and then move them into the mansion. They could have Stefano and Kate, Tony and Anna. I'd be in heaven. And then maybe Jamie. That would be great. I think that I think the fans would come back for those things, but I don't know.
You know what's funny? I had the weirdest dream last night. I had a dream John Black came back. And then the dream somehow, this is really bizarre. They recasted Jack Devereaux with John Ritter. And when I woke up, I'm like, oh, yeah, John Ritter's been dead for a few years.
Aw, that's a weird dream.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I came up with John Ritter as Jack Devereaux, but, yeah.
Probably because they were both kind of goofy, you know, kind of had that kind of silly personality or whatever. But I wish they'd bring back Matt. That would be awesome. I mean,
yeah.
That would totally explain, I mean, the fact that they've been saying, they've been bashing his character for months. Oh, you know, Dad, of course, you don't even get an email, and somebody ripped your heart out and left you to die, you know. And they keep bashing his character. I wish that would be so that when the reveal is this, that he's really been held captive or something, that would actually be a reveal. But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, Jack and Jennifer's working on that.
Right. They're obviously leaving the door open for Matt to come back.
Yeah, because
that would be
awesome. That would be pretty cool to have him come back just as, you know, after Jennifer and Daniel are getting close and everything, and then she'd have this quandary, like, ooh. And hopefully Jack would win.
Yeah. That's probably what they're doing.
I hope.
I hope so. But I mean, does it make any other sense, you know, why they're having Jack act out a character and not really having direct contact with anybody? No one's actually heard his voice. He's just sending haikus to emails to Adrian. I mean, about sunsets. You know, of course, that's more romantic than going to the Cheating Heart and watching the Cubs game.
I like seeing Adrian and Justin together and seeing them on the show. I mean, of course, you know, I want them to have more than propping other characters to do. But, I mean, it's so nice to have them back. I was kind of afraid we had seen the last of Wally Kurth on the show because he was even dropped from the credits, I think. And I was like, oh, no, where is he? And then all of a sudden they pop back up and, you know, hopefully they'll...
They're probably a recurring, so he's probably not a contact, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully, hopefully we'll keep seeing them because I like them together.
They're still not married yet, though, right? Because
right.
They're doing the show.
No, okay. I think they got married and came back. Didn't they get married? And it was off-screen like Tana's was?
Yeah, they were saying, oh, we're leaving tonight to go get married, but... Then she kind of didn't. She's not telling anybody she's married. I mean, she showed her ring to Abby, but I'm assuming it was the engagement ring wasn't. But she was saying about the size of it. You know, it was small or something like that.
They did get married. Yeah, to save Jack, they said they no. Wait, is that what you were saying that for? No, they did. Yeah, eloped off screen. Yeah. Yeah, because they came back and they were at the pub and they just kind of made this casual comment. I was like, what? In fact, I think I missed it. I was like, wait, did they just say they got married? Like, it was that uneventful as far as the announcement. But I thought they were going to have some sort of reception or something for them. Are they, didn't Judy Evans, didn't she tweet something about June 3rd or something? Or was that maybe a real fan event? I'm not really sure because I know that's the weekend that there's a lot of fan events going on, but...
I don't know. I didn't catch that.
I thought she said something about Justin and what's her character's name? Adrian's reception or something like that, or party, or I don't know. I could be wrong.
I could find it.
But okay. See, save Jack. She's following it. She did tweet something. She says in the chat room.
Fan
event. She thinks. Okay, so. So it probably is a fan event, not on screen. Okay, I wasn't sure. I was kind of confused, but
oh yeah, she wrote "Oil Can Harry's Here We Come Justin Adrian's Wedding Reception Come Casual It's a Vegas Scene Got My Velvet Elvis."
That's right. Well, that's cool. At least they're going to do something off screen. But it would be nice if they, you know, given them a little bit more. Yes, we are. You're the resource. Thank goodness. Not only save Jack and Jennifer, but you're saving us too. Because save Jack just said, "Aren't you glad I'm here?"
Yeah, we are.
Yeah,
we
you're backing me
in.
Up. Got all the facts there. All right. I love it. Oh. Where's Matt? Is Matt? Did Madeline's phone?
I'm here.
Oh, there. Okay, there you are.
We're just boring her, so she took a nap.
You didn't hear my keyboard? I wasn't making that much noise.
Oh, no. And Dave is in last place again in the ratings.
Big surprise.
Oh, my children passed them back up.
That is so hard for me because I hate that I don't want them canceled.
I don't either. I know.
Yeah.
So this needs to, but the problem is they're not paying attention to it, though.
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't yet to hear Ken come out and say, you know, really, we were wrong. I was wrong. Yes, I like this, but I'm wrong. You guys don't. And we're supposed to be selling it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Why won't they just do that? I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe they announced Dave is in the camp. Maybe the ratings will go up like
I would think it would have caught their attention that they're in last place for the last several weeks. I would think that would catch someone's attention. I don't know if they're going to do anything.
I just wish they'd, acknowledge. You know, it's like they think if they don't say anything that they can make it someone else's fault or something. I don't know. Because they don't say anything, we have no idea what they're thinking.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
or even if they want to fix
it. Hope they're circling the wagons and trying to make some adjustments. Because the thing of it is, we know, I mean, I've been trying to support, I know all of us have been trying to support AMC and One Life to Live and just, you know, in general, the genre and supporting the fans that are losing those shows and hoping that maybe somebody will pick them up or something will happen or Franz will be fired. If anyone wants somebody fun to watch, to follow, if they're not already following them on Twitter, follow Fire Franz, Fire and then F-R-O-N-S. They have a lot of people tweeting in there, and she retweets comments and stuff, and they give a lot of information about people to call and people to boycott and stuff like that, and they also have some pretty witty stuff sometimes, too. So that's a good one to follow. I mean, I don't know who it is, but I'm enjoying following them. But what worries me, and I think it's good, I think all those fans should be watching their show. I mean, they should be supporting it to make a statement, you know, that, hey, we are out here. You know, we are doing this. But that means the Days can only lose if they don't step up, you know. I am afraid they're going to be at the bottom for a while, and that's scary, very scary.
Yeah, the only thing that came out so far is there's a rumor that Days and Young and the Restless are going to try to pick off some actors from All My Children, One Life to Live. That's
Young
the
Restless?
Only...
Huh.
Yeah, they both are. I think
that makes
what
sense, I guess.
Debbie Morgan, Gina Tognini, and two other people, I can't remember. Those are the ones people, they seem to be coveting, that the two shows are coveting. So, yeah. That's the only comment, really.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And someone made a comment that Gina will probably pick Days and that show will get canceled again. That'll be like the third show she's been on in a row that would get canceled.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Well, the hard thing is there's going to be more and more people available if they lose those soaps. There's going to be a lot of people that want to be employed in the soaps, and so the ones that remain will have some good choices there. But still, I mean, then of course the people that we know and love on our show, what happens to them? You know, hopefully it doesn't all get lost in the shuffle. But I don't know that it's going to be possible, but I'm still hoping that somebody, I mean, Oprah really disappointed me when she, I understand why, but, and I respect what she said, but, and I respect her long history and everything, what she's done in the world, but I was really disappointed in how she basically said soaps were doomed, you know, and that if there had been a penny left to be made, they wouldn't have been canceled. That's really pretty harsh. I mean, considering she had that great episode with the celebration of AMC and everything on her show not too long ago, that's really pretty harsh.
I think it made her look like a phony. I mean, she's going on and on and on, but, I love Hurricane. I love Hurricane. Well, you have $1 billion. You can't even try to see if all my children going on your network.
Yeah, you couldn't
try to
put them
anything
on your network and see, you know. To me, that would have been the perfect fit. She targets her network towards women. Everybody, you know, knows who she is. If she saved AMC and One Life to Live in some form or fashion, can you imagine how much that network would grow? I mean, because then they would actually turn to that network and watch it and then see other things, other original programming that she has on, and, you know, watch that too probably. But as it stands, you know, I don't know. I don't know if people are watching it or not. But I don't know, that would have been a really cool – that would have been a cool thing. Of course, maybe she felt like she would have been losing money. I don't know. But
yeah, because basically she's benefiting from cheap entertainment too, because everything on her network is reality.
That's true. That's very true.
But, and the thing is, too, maybe she doesn't know how to take on a soap, because, I mean, it's fiction, and her entire
also
career
that
has been...
Gloria, was it Gloria Monty? Was Gloria Nixon? Who's the one? Gloria Monty?
Agnes Nixon.
Agnes Nixon. That's the one I'm thinking. But wasn't Gloria Monty the one that created maybe General Hospital or something?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of. Okay. Yeah, Agnes Nixon, though, I mean, she knows something about those shows. I mean, she can bring her in. But I don't know. I mean, I just feel for the fans, and I, you know, worry that Days is going to be in the same shape if they don't make some changes, and I hope that's not the case. But did anyone catch Susan Lucci, just since we're talking about the AMC thing, Susan Lucci on Jay Leno? I didn't see it, but I heard that she was on Friday night. And it would be interesting to see because, I mean, she had been on that tour, I think a book tour or something, and, you know, she had been told that they weren't being canceled. So she's spreading the word that they're not being canceled, and the next thing you know, they're being canceled. So I was just wondering if anyone saw her appearance, if she said anything, you know, about it. I don't know. But, oh, well. So, I don't know. I can't.
Yeah, it's just been a boring couple of weeks and days. Not much really happened.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I have anything else that I remember from the show that.
Justin in Atlanta has the video. I guess your Susan Lucci video. It's on his Twitter account at Justin in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. Thanks, Justin. All right.
And he's saying that. Susan said that the fans are on fire.
All right. Cool.
That's true.
That's cool. Yeah, well, if you follow Fire Franz, they have all this information on all the Disney products to boycott and everything. It's pretty interesting, actually. You forget how much Disney really has, you know, how much they really own of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. So. Anything else? I can't. I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything. Hello?
Oh, no, I'm trying to think.
What the show's thing is, we're just talking about it.
How exciting tonight.
It's Marianne's fault. Marianne's not here, and we don't have anything to talk about.
Oh.
So I'm blaming it on Marianne.
There you go. Well, hey, we've had some great resources here in the chat room. Some great fans fans of the show that are tweeting, sending us Twitter information and history. Oh, there's Save Jack's there.
Yeah, the chat room's been wonderful. Chat room's better than the.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about the past or something because talking about the present sort of sucks.
Aww. I keep thinking, though, it's like I don't want to, I have to be honest with what I'm thinking about, but at the same time, it's like I don't want days to get canceled, so I just hope that they can pull it together. I don't know, I hope so.
That's the thing, and we complain, but what we want is improvement. We don't want the show canceled at
absolutely.
All.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes,
yeah.
Make sure everybody knows that.
Yeah. I mean, I would be devastated. I mean, I think I'd seriously be devastated if the show went off the air. So, yeah.
Yeah,
what
would we talk about every week?
That's right.
Show to talk about.
We'd have to watch old Panda clips. Darn. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. But we do that anyway. But, yeah. Oh, well. Well.
Yep. Well, you guys, why don't we can end the show? So, I mean, I'm racking my brain. Oh, Vivian. She was pretty funny this week. She wasn't on that much, but her and Gus, they were doing the DNA test of whoever was in the prison, in the dungeon, and they couldn't figure out who it was. And she goes, is there an app for that?
Oh, yeah, I love that line.
That was great. And that's what makes me mad, too. I mean, I like Nicole getting revenge and EJ and Stefano. But basically, they completely dropped the ball on Vivian. I mean, you know, they could have had it. I mean, I think it would have been more interesting if Vivian was more involved in the storyline, that she finds out it's Rafe. Because she doesn't have anything to do. I mean, she got the, you know.
Kind of floating around. I don't know. It's kind of weird. So, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that line was great. Is there an app for that? I love that. It's an app for everything today. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's funny. But, I mean, I still don't understand how, you know, they were even able to run a DNA test to try to match with anybody. And then somehow Nicole has her own flunky, which I'm glad she finally has a flunky. Nicole's never had a flunky before. and he's running a DNA test for her, and it's kind of like, well, number one, how did Nicole get one? Because wouldn't that be a Demira flunky, and wouldn't a Demira flunky be involved somewhat in some sort of way with Rafe?
That's true.
So that's kind of odd.
Yeah, that reminds me, you know, you said she just got her flunky. I thought it was funny when we were talking earlier about the Carly thing and the drugs. In all the years that I've been watching the show, well, off and on that I've watched the show, I don't ever remember a drug rep actually coming, a pharmaceutical salesperson actually coming up to the desk. And it's like, conveniently enough, while Lexi's out, the pharmaceutical rep comes and needs to drop off some drugs, and Carly volunteers to take them for him and give them to Lexi, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of funny. Like, you know, so that would be a normal thing to see in a hospital, but I don't ever remember seeing one before until now.
But the thing is, I mean, she just heard that they're cracking down on missing drugs, and so she turns around and thinks, oh, I'll take these samples and no one will know. I mean,
well,
wouldn't the guy kind of...
But the thing of it is, that's the one way she could get away with it, because if it was samples, nobody documents that he... I mean... Presumably, nobody would document that they came in because they were samples. And so she saw that opportunity as, oh, I can take these and nobody will notice, you know. So, anyway.
Yeah, I just kind of find it hard to believe that there's, you know, drug salesmen going around giving away free samples of probably painkillers or whatever the heck it is that she took from them.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure that does happen, but it was just kind of funny that he pops out of nowhere and I'm like, gee, you know, this is a hospital. That would be a normal occurrence, except for I've never seen one there before until now. So this is kind of cute. I don't know.
I know someone who's in that business. I have to ask her. But
yeah,
that's kind of funny, though.
I'm sure they have some sort of controls and have to document, because think about it. The pharmaceutical salesperson could be using the drugs, you know what I mean? So I'm sure they have. I'm sure the industry has ways of... I mean, I actually have a friend who's one as well. I probably should talk to her about it. But of course, we know that Days doesn't really do its homework on medical medical aspects of the thing. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but you think he at least have to, you know, sign something that he was there and who he talked to and blah, 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 or something. I don't know. Just grasping at straws. Oh, boy. Okay. Who else didn't we talk about? Oh, Victor and Maggie, though, their fight was pretty knockdown, drag out, though. I'm not going to date you anymore if you take in Chloe.
Which means that makeup sex is right around the corner. Maybe.
Even without the makeup sex, though, Maggie's got him pretty much by the balls anyway.
Oh, she sure does. Which is kind of great, actually. Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah.
That cracks me up.
And then we don't know yet if and when Kate's ever going to figure out that the whole Allie was used as leverage to get Rafe to cough up information and stuff. You know, that I wonder if that's it. I wonder if they're just going to forget that little detail, or, you know, that Stefano was using her granddaughter as a pawn, so to speak. Or if they're just going to forget that whole detail. They might even forget Allie even exists. I mean, she's in Hong Kong right now, so who knows? We may never hear from her again until she's old enough to date one of the characters that's on, you know, there now or something. I don't know. But,
I think Kate's going to probably be upset that Stefano had this guy around her granddaughter.
Yeah.
And Will, too, I guess, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if she'll tie it in together about Stefano wanted to kidnap her.
I don't know how that's going to play out, but anyway, I don't know. Oh, well, anything else? Anybody in the chat room have anything?
Yeah, anybody in the chat room want us to talk about something?
I'm copying the chat room discussion for later. I've got to read all, because I missed some of it. You guys have been great.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if... Yeah, well, it's nice seeing Lexi and Avon more often, even though they're kind of proppy. Oh, that Lexi ripping Hope a new one was pretty cool, though.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Yeah, about basically, like, Hope paid more attention to her kid, she would know that she was planning on running away.
Yeah, that was pretty... that was a mom coming out, you know, that protectiveness of, you know, they could be friends, they've been friends all these years and all, but, you know, this is my child we're talking about here, you know. Oh, that was great. Yeah.
Yeah. They need Lexi to go back to being evil. That was my favorite Lexi, back when she was plotting against Hope, and she was, oh, yeah, she had this big thing. She was going to have Hope named Mother of the Year. And Lexi found out that she had, well, Lexi was raising Isaac, that was Zach, Stephanie switched to babies, and Hope was raising, what's her face? Well, I know Madeline remembers. Who was the mother of Glenn Ryber's baby? The one that, was it Marlo?
Yeah.
It was Marlo, yeah.
Thanks.
And Hope is raising.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I missed that. I thought that was pretty good when, you know, Lexi was just stabbing Hope in the back. It was pretty interesting.
Mm.
And you know what? Hope hasn't been around Jennifer, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they used to be. Yeah, they used to be BFF.
Initially, they kind of had her on there, but yeah, you're right. It's been. She'll be stuck in Daniel land, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I wonder if Hope's going to have any feelings about the fact that Daniel, who used to, like, you know, make out with her stepdaughter and has quite the checkered history on dates. I'm wondering what she's going to think of Daniel and Jennifer. I don't know. Of course, I guess they can't say much considering what's going on with, you know, Bo and Carly and all that stuff. I don't know, but... Who knows?
Yeah, and what happened to Hope's midlife crisis? It was interesting, that storyline, that she didn't know what to do with her life, and like everybody else had
a
life. And
we can kind of relate to. I can kind of relate to that right now.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that.
We all go through that at some point, or most of us.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That kind of. I wonder if that'll come up again, or if it. I still want Dr. Baker to come back. I'd love for him to come back. I miss him. He'd be like,
yeah.
Oh, I miss the old times. And I'll be like, oh, God, get out of here. Leave me alone. But, no, I loved him. Anyway. So.
Oh, I read this tweet. I think it was Eric Martzoff. He took a picture of his script that he was doing this week.
Yeah.
Did you read it? It has Brady saying, yeah, EJ and Stephanie are going to finger me in this.
I was like, oh, whoa. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the rating, if EJ and Stefano finger Brady, the ratings would go through the roof.
I wonder, I'm kind of surprised he doesn't get in trouble for tweeting a picture of the script. That's kind of interesting. But yeah, that
but
was. I read that and I was like, does that mean what? I mean, is. And then I got the worst picture in my mind, and I thought, yeah, that would be something that people would tune in for sure.
Yeah, so it looks like EJ and Stefano are trying to maybe possibly set up Brady for something.
But
and then Brady says something. Yeah, and then Brady says, like, oh, I don't worry. I won't tell anybody that you and Hope know. And then Abe walks into the scene.
Oh, it must have something to do with the race then. Ugh.
Right. Yeah, but well, how's Brady going to tie into that?
I don't know. Well, he is Sammy's brother, but her stepbrother, half-brother, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, it makes my head hurt. That was funny. I'm glad you remembered that. That was funny.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was hilarious. I wonder what if he
and
actually...
And Eric's
said...
so funny. He's got such a funny sense of humor. Oh, yeah. Rex... JDK mentioned in the chat room about his appearance on Smallville. I saw the tweets about it, but I didn't see that. I never watched that show, so I didn't watch. What was it, Booster Gold? Is that his character's name or something? I don't know. I saw something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Was he? Oh, did anyone see that?
No.
Oh, you didn't.
No, I didn't see it.
So.
Yeah,
he's funny.
Oh.
He's really funny.
Oh yeah. I mean, who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves the show because, you know, maybe. He ends up on Smallville or something.
Oh, I love Brady. I used to not like Brady, but I love Brady now. Oh, yeah. Now, what's going on with Brady. Now, okay, we already talked about that Melanie thing. Okay.
And then I saw Peter Reckel was tweeting to Brandon Beamer all week that that Bo needs his son back. Did you guys catch that?
That Bo needs his son. Oh, huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, he was tweeting to Brandon and.
Crazy off.
What'd you say?
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I hadn't heard any rumor. I haven't heard any rumors about that, but that's interesting. Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, now he's on. He's still on Bold and the Beautiful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You never know. It could happen.
What? It's ending in 3 weeks. What is that? What's ending in 3 weeks?
I don't know.
If Sean D comes back, I want to do it. Rex, what do you mean by that in the chat room? It's ending in 3 weeks. I missed something there.
Oh, maybe you meant Smallville.
Maybe Smallville? Oh, okay.
I don't know. I've never watched it.
Huh. Oh, but, we've managed to go almost an hour and a half talking about
nothing.
So, well, of course, we talked about other things, too, but, you know, other shows. But anyway, no, but it's been fun reading in the chat room, I'll tell you. These guys have been great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Rex confirmed he meant Smallville.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
Well, it's been fun. Yeah, it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, it was fun. Fun to talk with you girls and talk to people in the chat room. Great to have them there, and very much enjoyed that. So let's hope for a better week this week. maybe something. It's sweeps month. Oh, yeah, it's sweeps month starting Monday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can't you tell it's sweeps month?
I know. There's all this buildup in April. Of course. You used to be able to tell it was coming. A sweeps month was coming without even looking at the calendar. Now you have to go, whoa, we just had sweeps month? I didn't even realize.
Days has the most underwhelming sweep months. I mean,
their off months are better than their on months.
Yeah, it's true.
I
maybe
mean, really,
no.
Some of their best stuff has been like in June or something, or you know, like the Grace, Baby Grace stuff. A lot of that happened in June, and things like that. You know, it's kind of funny, but all right. Well, I guess night, guys.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, but the show, though, we didn't do a show last week because of Easter, and, you know, I found out my uncle was dying last week, and he just passed away today. Thank you. And I had people saying, you didn't do a show on Saturday.
Aww.
They made me feel bad.
Aww.
And then Firefox Online, one of the other Blog Talk Radio show hosts,
he's
the one who called in. Yeah, he's like, you haven't done a show since April 2nd.
Oh.
I wanted to call in.
Yeah, he's great. I love him. He needs to come. He's listening now. You need to call in.
Mm-hmm.
Call in next time. We love hearing from you. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Somebody's typing up a storm in there. Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah, for the newbies in the chat room, Rex and Justin, hey, you guys are more than welcome to come in, to call us and share with us. And you guys are very knowledgeable. And give us a call sometime. We should be here next weekend. So, I mean, you know, who the hell knows what happens between now and next weekend. Hopefully next week we'll have something to say. I did have a list. I actually prepared this time. I'm not winging it. And I had 8 things on my list.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, we were still stretching it for the past 45 minutes.
That's funny.
Yeah, we're on, Justin's asking, we're on 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday night. So, yeah, we didn't bore everybody, and they decide they want to come back.
Oh, no, this is great. Yeah, definitely next time call in, guys, because it's fun to hear from other people and hear your perspective. And so thanks a lot for being here.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
I think the music's going to start any second now.
Well, yeah, but I have to press the button. It doesn't start without me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't do that when it closes. No,
oh, okay.
It doesn't. No.
Like
yeah, actually, you know, I'm going to get together with you sometime. I'm going to teach you how to do this.
Yeah.
It's easy. I mean, if Marianne can do it, I mean, come on. I'm just teasing. She taught me how to do Twitter, so I can't bash her anymore.
Oh, we miss Marianne. She's off having a good time this weekend with her daughter, and
yeah.
So we wish her well. Glad she's having a good time.
I hope she's having great weather. Yeah.
Yeah.
We miss her. Bye, Madeline. See you next
week. Bye, guys.
And bye, Miss Anna. See you next
week. Bye. Bye, guys.